Look what it says here in John 16, verse 24. The Bible says this, "Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Let's pray this evening. Lord, I ask for your help in these next few minutes. Lord, we do pray again for the Spiritual Leadership Conference in Asia. I pray that the closing services coming up in a few hours will be mightily blessed and used by you. I pray you'll guide and direct Pastor as he leads that meeting to its conclusion. And I pray, Lord, there'll be great fruit to your account. But Lord, we also ask tonight that you'll be with us here at this place. It's wonderful to know, Lord, that you're here, because where two or three are gathered together, you are there in the midst. What a wonderful thing. We know that this church is yours. You purchased it with your blood. And Lord, we ask tonight that you would work. Lord, I acknowledge tonight that in this, as in all other things, we need your help. We know that all good things come from you, every good and perfect gift coming from above, for the Father of lights. So Lord, we ask that you will do something good tonight. We need to hear from you. And I pray, Lord, that we will hear your word, but I also pray, Lord, that we will be doers of the things that your word teaches. Please help us tonight, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible has two types of promises. There are conditional promises. We're all familiar with certain things that are conditional. The Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land." That is a conditional promise. If you do this, I will do this. It's a wonderful thing to know that God promises blessings for obedience. If we obey, he will bless us with that. What a great thing to know. And we see here that he's telling us to do something. He's telling us to ask, just to ask. I think that every parent here knows that when our children are having a good relationship with us or doing the right thing, if they ask something of us, we want to fulfill that. We were created in the image of God. He is our Heavenly Father, and he bids us to come. He bids us to ask. The question is, will we do that? Are we asking? I believe that if we'll ask him, he will joy in answering us. I oftentimes will get letters from people, and sometimes it's former students and their kids are in jogathons. I don't like those letters. I always send the same thing, $10. No, I'm not paying by the lap. I'm not going to get burned, but I usually do something. Got a letter today from a young lady who graduated from here in 2001. It was a blessing. It was an encouragement. It was good to hear from her. And I saved the note. I said, I'll write her a note back and send her a CD or something. And she lives in Nevada now. Her husband traveled with me in a tour group 17 years ago. It was encouraging to me today that she remembered some good things. I believe it's encouraging to our Heavenly Father that we remember some good things. Do we remember? Are we aware of what he's done? I try to pick a verse every day to write down and meditate on the day. And I read this morning, wrote it down in my little card, Isaiah 25, 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thee, for thou hast done wonderful things. When I read that this morning, I said, that's my verse for the day. It's actually two verses. But I said, that's my verse for the day. I'm going to meditate on that today. And when we think about his goodness to us, it makes us want to communicate with him. He had told the disciples in John 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." What a great verse for Christians to know. What a great verse to share. "If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." It's been a blessing the last 2 weeks. In a different sort of way, I preached funerals here on the property for two people, both of whom were saved. That's a wonderful thing to know that. So as Christ is there in the upper room, as he's preparing at the end of the Passion Week, he said, let me tell you about heaven. But then he goes on and says in John chapter 15 and talks about the vine and the branches. But his emphasis here is on prayer. He said, I'm not going to be here physically anymore, but I want you to talk to me. I want you to believe that I am your source of sustenance, your source of strength. And let's break this verse down and see what he says for us tonight. We see, first of all, a rebuke for prayerlessness. A rebuke for prayerlessness. He said, hitherto have ye asked nothing. Basically, up to now, you haven't asked me for anything. This is a rebuke. God is not pleased when his children do not ask. He wants us to ask. So why is it you're not asking? God's word says in James chapter 4, verse 25, ye have not because ye ask not. I was reading a biography a year ago of a very famous preacher from the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. His name is Dr. Adrian Rogers. Great, powerful preacher that God used in a great way. At the time of his resignation, he had cancer. His church was giving $4 million a year to missions. Pretty astounding thing. And I actually thought the book was unpreachy, but it was a biography. And as I read it, someone said, who are the people who influenced your life? And the very first person he mentioned was John R. Rice. He said, because of one book he wrote. He said, the title of the book is Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. He said, I found out that God liked to answer my prayers. What a wonderful thing. And great things were accomplished for the Lord because he understood this, that he needed to ask. I've enjoyed reading the stories of the lives of great Christians, and whether it's D.L. Moody in a century ago, who built an incredible ministry there in Chicago by going out and asking people to help him. It's a wonderful thing to ask the founder of Union Oil to help you build buildings, but to think about the fact that we can go to the creator of the universe, we see a rebuke. God's word says, ye have not because ye ask not. I was challenged to read about how Muslims will pray. My wife and I traveled to Israel some years ago. We landed in Jordan and actually stayed in a hotel where the king of Jordan stayed the next night. And man, it was heavily guarded and armed and that type of thing. But an Iranian invented a compass-like device with the names of 150 cities on it. They began to put this out in the hands of Muslim worshipers. And the devout Muslim will turn this until the needle points due north. And then he twists the dial to show the name of the city he's in, and it will show him what the direction to Mecca is. Because five times a day, they stop whatever they're doing. They take out a prayer rug, roll it out of the ground, and literally humble themselves. Not to the true God, but they're serious about it. I watched that happen as the Muezzins would give the call to prayer for the prayer towers, that literally the city would stop. They didn't care where they were. They didn't care who they were with. They would stop, point towards Mecca, and get down and pray. I could not help but think, if the Muslims could do that five times a day, could we not take time in the morning and evening to go to our God? From a positive perspective, from Africa, Brother Stenson's preached a great message in chapel today and said, God's calling, are you answering? And I heard about some East African converts who were very regular in their prayer life. And they would get alone to pray. The Bible says go into a closet to pray. And what that means is get into a private place, a place where you're alone, where you could shut out the cares and concerns of this world. People might interrupt us. I had to tell college students that doesn't mean you need to find a closet, but a solitary place. I did have one student at a previous college who went into the custodial closet to pray. And with the bleach and ammonia in there, he passed out of there. And we found him the next day with some over the door, and he came tumbling out. So be careful about the right closet. But in East Africa, these believers would go out and have a separate spot into the thicket where they wouldn't be disturbed, and they would go out and pray. Over time, these believers going out to these special places of prayer would wear a path to their place of prayer. As a result, if one of these believers began to neglect their prayer, it soon became apparent to others. And they would kindly remind their brother by saying this, "Brother, grass grows on your path." Because they knew they were not getting alone to pray. Parents, do our children know we pray? Do we know we pray? I met a young man, he's not in this room tonight, he's in the teen department, and I'm working hard to try to get him to be regular in his devotions. I promise him something if he'll do 30 days in a row. Because I really believe if we'll do it 30 days in a row, we can build a habit in our life. God wants to hear from us. So we see, first of all, the rebuke for not praying. We've all been guilty of that. But isn't it encouraging to know that today is the first day of the rest of our Christian life? Amen. Today is the first day of the rest of our life. You say, "I haven't been the prayer warrior I should have been," or "I haven't prayed with regularity like I should have been." Paul said, forgetting those things which are past, looking forward to those things which are before, the prize of the high calling. Let's look forward to being serious about our prayer. We also see a rebuke here for not praying properly. To pray in His name. To pray in His name. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name." Are we praying in the name of Jesus? One commentator said this, to pray in someone's name is to pray in the character of the person. I thought this was interesting. He said to pray according to the wishes of the person. What would the Lord have us pray about? Can I tell you right now? We all ought to be praying about Easter. Amen. I think all of us want to see a great harvest of souls. There will be a great amount of work. A lot of doors will be knocked. That's wonderful. But will we pray? I've tried to pray in every class this week for the Spiritual Leadership Conference in Asia. We prayed about it in chapel. But are we praying for the things that are important? I believe that our Resurrection Sunday services will be very important to God. I believe we can pray that in His name. Oh, there's people all across the world who pray, but it's not according to the wishes of God. I wonder how many prayers will go out tonight in Las Vegas. Oh, help me. I want to get caught up. That's not according to His name. God wouldn't want them to be there. He wouldn't want them doing that. But if we're doing things according to His name, I believe He wants to hear us and He wants to do something. So we see the rebuke. You've asked nothing and you haven't asked in my name. But secondly, tonight we see the requirements for prayer. It's so simple. I love this. You know, the Bible is really simple. Salvation is very easy. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. We need simply to receive it. It's a free gift. And with prayer, God says, here it is, you need to ask. Ye have not, because ye ask not. What did you ask God for today? Oh, there's certain things we pray for with regularity. Obviously, my wife and I pray, we pray for our children. We pray for some people in this church, really almost on a daily basis. Pray for the Goddards, the health of Dr. Goddard and Lauren Goddard. Pray for Ron Chow. I've got a pastor's wife who's been a friend for about 40 years. Her husband was my roommate back in 1977. Try to pray for every day. She has leukemia, and she's been through stem cell transplant. It didn't work. The cancer's coming back with a vengeance. And now she's hoping to maybe do a bone marrow transplant. Her two sisters flew in from Washington last week, and they're checking their bone marrow to see if there's a match. But there's other people that we may not even know well. But I think if they know we're praying for them, it would be a blessing and a help. There's a pastor in Georgia who found out fairly recently that his daughter, who's 1.5 years of age, has leukemia. I've never met her mother. I think I met the dad one time. I wouldn't know him if he walked in the room. But I know this. If I had a 1.5-year-old granddaughter or daughter that had leukemia, is taking chemotherapy, little Claire is her name, her hair is all gone. This young man's a grandson of Dr. Curtis Hudson. I'd want people praying. And I put Claire, she's on our prayer sheet a couple weeks ago when I found out, and I mailed him the prayer sheet, and I wrote him a note and sent him a CD or two, and we can encourage people with prayer. Amen. I had a student walk up to me today, a young lady, I believe she's a junior in the college. She's from Hope Children's Home in Florida. And she said, would you pray for my little brother? His name is Gabriel. Just heard about this morning after the first hour of class. Gabriel's 7 years of age or eight, seven or eight, I'm not sure which it is. His intestines aren't working. They've tried to open him up, rearrange him. He's being fed through a feeding tube. His waste are being removed through a colostomy bag. Friends, that boy needs our prayer. He needs our prayer. I stopped and prayed with her after my first hour class, but I've thought about that little boy several times during the day. The odds are very, very high I will never meet him, but I can pray for him. And I want to write him and tell him I'm praying for him. I think that'd be an encouragement. Pat Smith's volunteered the kitchen for years. I found out he had heart surgery this week, had a stent put in. I just wrote him a card today and said, Pat, I'm praying for you. And I sent a note to the dining hall. I said, why don't you get a card and have all the kids who work with him sign it and let them know they're praying for him. Ask. Ask. What an encouragement to others if they know that we're asking. You've asked nothing in my name. Do you know that we honor God by asking? Because we don't ask things of people that we don't believe could give us an answer. Years ago, one of the greatest military leaders of all time, a man by the name of Alexander the Great, had a unique experience. There was a philosopher who was in his court who got into financial trouble. And he asked Alexander for help. And Alexander said, sure. He said, just go to the treasury and tell him I said you could have it. And he went to the treasury and he asked for help. He asked for the equivalent of $50,000 today. Well, the treasurer said, no, I'm not giving you $50,000 unless I know for sure Alexander the Great said it's okay. Alexander the Great went down and said, yes, give him the $50,000. He said, pay him the money at once. He said, the philosopher has done me a singular honor. By the largeness of his request, he shows that he has understood both my wealth and my generosity. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He loves us so much that he gave his son for us. Why do we not ask him for help? We had a family visit us this week. In fact, the mother was in our home for about 4 days, and I met him when I was preaching in Texas. They came out to see the college. Their son's name is Ronnie. He signed up to come while he was here. It was exciting. But I said, do you have any prayer requests? She said, my husband's not saved. I said, I promise to pray. When they left our home, I made him breakfast 2 days ago, and they left at 6:30. Brother Green picked him up to take him back to the airport. I said, I'll be praying. His name is Michael. I'll be praying for Michael. Let's ask. Let's ask. God wants his people to ask. I love the quote by William Carey. He said, attempt great things for God, but expect great things from God. Do we expect him to answer? God tells us to pray in faith, believing. And it doesn't take a great deal of faith. He says, if you have faith such as a grain of mustard seed, man, I could have that. You could have that. God wants us to have faith enough to ask. God helped him to translate the Bible into over 20 languages and dialects. He accomplished great things for God, but he asked God to help him. We show, first of all, we honor in asking. Secondly, we show humility in asking. Humility in asking. There's some things I will tell you very transparently I don't know a lot about. I am not very mechanically oriented. Sometimes I think my wife, whose dad was a maintenance man, knows more about things than I do. But boy, I'll tell you what, if I can't do it with one of my two screwdrivers, my hammer or my pliers, I'm done. I don't call on him often, but I have a friend here in this church who has bailed me out in some emergencies. His name is Earl Husband. I only call him, though, if it's really an emergency, like there's somebody staying at my house. I called him yesterday. I left a message. I said, Earl, people have been at my house 9 of the last 11 days, and nothing broke down. It's a miracle. I don't need anything. Have a good day. I promise you, it's on his phone. I love Brother Earl, one of the first people I met when I came here. 20-some years ago, we had about 70 students in the college, and we were trying to get Hudson Hall ready for dormitory students. And there was no closets, so someone said, why don't you help Earl build closets? I said, what did you do? I brought him food and carried boards for him. But I remember that. We worked all night long. We had a prayer meeting the next day. It was in the North Auditorium before this building was built, and I remember praying with Earl, and he kind of nudged me because I was kind of falling asleep on the pew. Praise the Lord. But you know what's awesome about Earl Husband? He has the same response. Every time I've heard pastor ask him for something, here's his answer. No problem. No problem. Ladies and gentlemen, our requests to God are no problem. So let's ask him. Let's go to him. Say, Lord, I need your help. Please help me. Lord, we'd like to see a miracle here. When I discuss this place to others, I often call it the miracle in the desert. It is a miracle. It's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. But can I tell you this? There's been a lot of prayer. There's been a lot of prayer. I wonder what God wants to do next. Will we pray and ask him to help? He wants to do great things. So we show humility. We're inferior. He's superior. Then we see that we show our helplessness. We're helpless without him. Amen. David said in Psalm 124, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord. That's where the help's at. We know where to go to find certain things. I've had questions about a Bible verse or something. I've gone to ask Toby England. I've asked Mike Lester. I've asked Brother Hal. I know where to go to get an answer in something. When I was preparing this message, I looked at different commentaries. I often checked Matthew Henry. He had nothing to say about this verse, amazingly enough. But there's other places. I like the one-volume commentaries of J. Sidlow Baxter called Explore the Book and J. Graham Scroggie's book called The Unfolding Drama of Redemption. I know where to go to look to find answers. My friends, I know where to go to find help. Amen. David said, our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in his name. Martin Luther said, pray as if everything depends on God, then work as if everything depends on you. He wasn't a Baptist, I know that. In fact, he wasn't a big fan of Baptists, but he was right on that one. Pray and work. Work and pray. Dr. Helen Roosevelt, who was a missionary to Zaire, told the following story. A mother at the mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. The child's there with no mother. It needed help. They tried to improvise an incubator to try to keep the baby alive. It needed warmth. And they had one water bottle there at the mission station. But when they filled it up, it burst. It was beyond repair. There was no second water bottle. And They begin to pray. They ask the children to pray for the baby and for her sister. One of the girls responded. She said, "Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead." Then she said, "Dear Lord, please send a doll for her sister so she won't feel lonely." That day, a large box arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as it was opened, and as they began to dig through it, they found a hot water bottle. And the little girl spoke up. She said, "Keep digging." She said, "If he sent that, I'm sure he sent a doll as well." And sure enough, there was a doll there as well. The box had been mailed 5 months before. God knows what our needs are. Why don't we ask him to help us? One of my favorite characters in recent church history is George Mueller. He was from Bristol, England, and he had orphanages, not just for pure orphans, but for children who were foundlings or left on their own. Parents literally would drop their kids off the door and take off. At one time, he was caring for over 4,000 children at one time. He did something that's amazing to me. He would not ask people for help. He said, "I'm just going to ask God." I challenge you to read the book called Mueller of Bristol. But one day, with all those kids there, he had no food at all to feed them. Could you imagine the burden on that man's heart? Nothing. A small girl whose father was a close friend of Mueller's was visiting the home. Was there, and Mueller took her by the hand. He said, "Let's pray and let's see what our Father will do." I love this story. They prayed, and then he had them set the tables. The plates were set out. Mugs were set out. And moments later, with no food in the kitchen, no money to buy food, a knock came at the door. They opened the door. There stood the baker. He said, "Mr. Mueller, God woke me up at 2:00 this morning and told me that you needed bread." And Mueller looked at the young lady. He said, "God answered our prayer." They brought the bread in. Soon, a second knock was held at the door. They opened the door, and there stood a milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. What a coincidence. He said, "I have to fix the cart, and so I've just decided to unload the cart and give you all the milk." God wants to do great things. And he doesn't just want to do it for Mueller of Bristol or Moody of Chicago or Spurgeon. He wants to do great things today. Isn't it great to know that he loves us and cares for us and wants to help us? I heard the story. I had the privilege of visiting just one time the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle in London, England, the place where Spurgeon pastored with such incredible success for so long. The facade is still there. The building is very different. The church doesn't look the same inside. It was hit by bombs during the Nazi blitzkrieg of World War II. But the facade, the front, is exactly the same. It says Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle across these Ionic columns. One time some visitors came, and a man said, "Would you like to have a tour of the building?" And the students who were there visiting from America said, "Well, sure, we'd like to take a look around." And the man said to them, "Would you like to see the heating plant of the church?" They thought that was a rather unusual request because it was July. It was quite warm there in the middle of the London summer with its attendant humidity. But not wanting to be rude, they said, "Well, okay, I guess so." And he took him downstairs to the basement. The door was quietly opened, and the man said, "Here is our heating plant." And there in the basement were 700 men praying for the evening service about to begin. Softly closing the door, the man said, "I thought you'd want to see that." He said, "By the way, my name is Charles Haddon Spurgeon." He knew where the power came from. Will we ask God for his help? And finally, I close tonight, we see thirdly in this verse, we see the rejoicing in prayer. The text says this. It says that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Joy is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have a happiness. Maybe it's the joy of the birth of a new baby in the family, or for some of us who are older, a grandchild. It brings joy. When someone we know does well, or we hear about a victory in a church, we have joy in that. It's interesting. He says, you want your joy to be full? He said, then ask me. I've had the privilege of teaching the book of Genesis at least 50 times in college, to college classes. Every fall and every spring semester for 27 consecutive years. I called a former student of mine. We were talking about Genesis yesterday, talking about Joseph, and he's preaching through it verse by verse for the second time. He's in Genesis 42, a pastor in Baltimore. And it didn't hit me till maybe 5 or 10 years ago why God created us. And can I tell you tonight, it's two very, very simple reasons. God put Adam and Eve in the garden for two reasons. Number one, to walk with him and talk with him every day. He came down in the cool of the day to walk with him and talk with him. The songwriter understood this well when he said, he walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And secondly, we were put there to work. They were there to keep the garden. Before there was ever sin, they had a job to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that tonight God wants us to walk with him and talk with him. And I believe he wants us to work for him. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him, listen now, and make our abode with him. He says, I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. My dad's 88 years of age, far closer to heaven than when I was growing up in his home many years ago. I call him every week, I write him every week, and I'm committed to try to see him one time a month, to drive down and see if he's only 80 miles away or so. Every time I call him, he always says, oftentimes I'll be driving to an airport if I have a ride, and I'll just talk to him. Talked to him recently for 49 minutes. He said this. He said, thank you for taking time to talk to me. And I believe our Heavenly Father would say, thank you for taking time to talk with me. Refer back one final time. When we pray, remember the love of God that wants the best for us, the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us, and the power of God that can accomplish it. Let's read our text one more time. We're done. Thank you for listening so well tonight. Hitherto, up to now, ye have asked, have ye asked nothing in my name? And then the command, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full.